Hello everybody, it's Mr. Tall23 back in their video. First, I just want to do a quick sound check to make sure that the sound is working before I get into the video. Alright, so the sound is working. Anyway, so in this video, I want to talk about a particular doctrine and compare it with what the Bible teaches to see whether or not it's biblical. And that's the doctrine known as dominion theology, also known as dominionism. Now, from what I understand, dominion theology is a pretty broad term which applies to several different doctrines. There are two main schools of thought which are usually given the title of dominion theology or dominionism. There's Christian Reconstructionism, which is a movement primarily among Calvinist postmillennialists who believe in establishing the kingdom of God on earth prior to the return of Jesus Christ. Then there's also something which is mainly promoted by charismatics and Pentecostals called Kingdom Now theology, which pushes the idea that everything should be Christianized. It's kind of a social movement which seeks to turn all the institutions in this world into Christian-run institutions, into things which are based on the Bible. You know, reform the schools, reform the governments, reform science, reform arts, reform everything according to the Bible. That's basically what Kingdom Now theology is. Now, there's a lot that could be said about both of these ideas, but I want to focus mainly on Christian Reconstructionism in this video. Now, first, I just want to define some things and explain exactly what this form of dominion theology is, what Christian Reconstructionism is. This theology is promoted by postmillennialists, so these are people who believe that Jesus Christ will not return until after the 1,000 years, after the millennium. Their idea of the millennium is a golden age upon this earth in which Christians rule the world in a government pattern after the principles of the Holy Scriptures. So they promote Christians themselves establishing a kingdom which rules over the entire world according to the law of Moses. They believe that's their responsibility to create the kingdom of God upon this earth. And they believe that the millennium will not end and Christ will not return until this kingdom has been created and has dominion over all of the earth. That's basically what Christian Reconstructionism is. I want to say, first of all, that I agree with and support the idea of theonomy, that is, the rule according to God's law. It's written in the scriptures that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. When Christ's kingdom comes upon this earth, the Bible prophesies in Isaiah 2:3 that the law shall go forth out of Zion. And it's written that he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. When the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting upon his throne, when the millennial kingdom is established, Jesus Christ will rule this world according to the law of God. So I agree that the laws of God should be instituted in a godly nation. I believe that adulterers and murderers and sodomites and bestialities, etc., should be put to death according to what is written in the law of God. A lot of Christians have this incorrect and unbiblical attitude that the laws of God are just meaningless to Christians today. But it says in Romans 3:31, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law." The only things written in the law of Moses which are done away with in the New Testament, according to the Bible, are the carnal ordinances, which are defined specifically in Colossians chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 7 to chapter 10. And those things include the Levitical priesthood, the animal sacrifices, circumcision, meat and drinks, diverse washings, the new moons, the Sabbath days, the holy days. That's pretty much it. Besides those ordinances and those rituals, the commandments given in the law of God are not done away with. In fact, there's many chapters in the New Testament commanding the same things that we see in the law of Moses. There's chapters against adultery and incest and murder and drunkenness and theft and covetousness and blasphemy, etc. The issue with dominion theology is not the type of government which it advocates for, which is simply God's government, that which God established and promoted in the actual Bible. Basically, they want to rule according to what the Bible actually says. I agree with that. But the issue and the reason why dominion theology is unbiblical is the idea that it's the job of the so-called church. Of course, these are Calvinists who promote this, so they believe in the unbiblical idea of a universal church. They believe that it's the job of the church to create this government and to establish the kingdom of God in preparation for the return of Jesus Christ. And part of the reason why I believe, part of the reason why they believe in this bizarre doctrine is because of that other false doctrine which they hold to, known as postmillennialism. One of the first videos I made after getting saved on this channel was against postmillennialism. It was prompted by some negative comments made by a postmillennialist who followed my channel at the time that I was in the Hebrew Roots movement. And this person called me a heretic and sent me an article by some Puritan, by some reformed postmillennialist guy who was trying to push the historicist and postmillennialist view that a lot of Calvinist theologians believe in. So I made a video, which was like an hour and a half to 2 hours long, just completely refuting the doctrine of postmillennialism. And that was prompted by a video which I had made before about the chronology of the book Revelation in June of 2018. And this person replied with this article. So I said, I read over the article and it was just completely silly. And I made a video refuting it. I don't know if it's still up on my channel because I deleted or privated a lot of my old videos because I was using false Bible versions. It was when I just got saved and some of the videos were pre-recorded and uploaded later. So I don't know if it's actually still on my channel, but I made it, I think, in July of 2018. And obviously, since then, my understanding of the book of Revelation and Bible prophecy has significantly grown. So it baffles me a lot more now that anybody could believe in the nonsense that Christ will not return until after the millennium. That's what postmillennialism is. Most of the people who watch my channel understand that I'm a premillennialist, and most of the people who watch my channel are probably premillennialists themselves. They believe in the literal interpretation of the book of Revelation that there will be a time when there's the 70th week of Daniel, a period of 7 years, and after that is when Christ establishes his kingdom on the earth, and then he will rule for 1,000 years prior to Satan being loosed or unloosed from his prison in hell for a period of time. He gathers the nations of Gog and Magog, and then he is destroyed and cast in the lake of fire, along with all the nations that come against the kingdom of God. But these postmillennialists will say, no, Christ doesn't return until after the 1,000 years. I think the article that was sent to me said that the talk of fire coming down from heaven and consuming Satan and the armies of Gog and Magog, they said that that was the return of Christ, which is stupid. And I'll explain why in a moment. But I just want to address postmillennialism quickly in this video before getting to specifically talking about dominion theology, because once the doctrine of postmillennialism is defeated, so is dominion theology. And the reason for that is once postmillennialism falls, any attempt at promoting taking over the world and in order to prepare for Jesus Christ just sounds like you're preparing the way for the coming of the beast and the Antichrist instead. Because we know based on 2 Thessalonians 2 that the man of sin comes first before Christ coming and are gathering together unto him. But there's only one chapter in the whole Bible which talks about the millennium. So if we're going to talk about when the millennium is and when Christ returns, just a plain reading of this chapter would lead any sensible Christian to conclude that the rapture and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ takes place before the millennium. The only ways that I can reasonably conclude that somebody would be mixed up in this doctrine after reading Revelation chapter 20 is either because they just don't know how to read or because they're just not saved. They don't have the Spirit of God within them to understand what the Bible says, because it's a pretty clear scripture. To misunderstand it, you'd either have to be a liar, just be stupid and not know how to read, or be unsaved without the Spirit of God to teach you. So if you get rid of the preconceived notions and your preconceived ideas about end times prophecy in the Bible, it's not that difficult to understand. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 to 6 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and put a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, to sum up the lives of the postmillennialists, they believe that there's only one resurrection, which raises both the saved and the unsaved, and that it takes place after the millennium when Christ supposedly returns. And therefore, the kingdom of God during this time is set up by Christians and not by Christ. There's a few problems with that. First of all, verse 4 in this chapter clearly states that those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus because they had not worshiped the beast, it says they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, if the resurrection takes place after the millennium, how does this make any sense? It says that they were beheaded. So they were dead. I mean, I don't think this is very difficult to figure out, but when somebody cuts your head off, you die. But then it says that they lived and they reigned with Christ. Then in the very next verse, it says the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So how many resurrections are there according to the scriptures? There's two. The first of those are those who lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The second, the rest of the dead, is after the 1,000 years, when the rest of the dead lived again, showing us that some of the dead were already made alive. Then it defines in verse 6 that those who were part of the first resurrection reign with God in Christ 1,000 years. Now, if you just read and believe the Bible, there's a resurrection before the millennium of those who have died in Christ. This is called the rapture. It's what's described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those who are made alive..." Oh, wait, no, sorry. That wasn't part of the quote. Anyway, so those who are made alive live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So by the time the millennium begins in Revelation 20, Christ had already both returned according to the scriptures, but also he's with the saints on the earth during the 1,000 years. They've already been raised from the dead. So there's not one resurrection that takes place after the millennium. There's the first resurrection, and those who rise in the first resurrection live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Then the rest of the dead, meaning everybody else who wasn't raised in the first resurrection, is raised after the 1,000 years. It's very clear. Now, this is proven further by Matthew 24. It's written in verse 29 to 31. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Now notice what it says in verse 29. It says, "immediately after the tribulation of those days." Now most postmillennialists also have this false doctrine called historicism, in which they conclude that the tribulation was a progressive persecution which took place over hundreds of years in time past, which has no basis in the Bible whatsoever. But even if that were true, and the tribulation were already past, and we're already out of the tribulation, because a lot of the times they'll say that the tribulation is 1260 years, and it was the persecution of the Roman Catholic Church against the true Christians, etc. But if that were true, it still says that the Son of Man comes in the clouds of heaven immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, they say, well, no, it's at least 1,000 years after the tribulation of those days. That's not immediately. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, if you compare this passage with Revelation chapter 6 and 7, we know that this takes place at the time of the sixth seal. If you compare Matthew 24 with Revelation 6 and Revelation 7, the sixth seal is broken, the sun and the moon are darkened, just as in Matthew 24, takes place immediately after the tribulation of the day of those days. And then Revelation 7, a great multitude appears in heaven, which, according to the angel, came out of great tribulation. That's long before the millennium in the book of Revelation. This is Revelation 6 and 7. The millennium is in Revelation 20. It's even before the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth in the seven trumpets and the seven vials. So postmillennialism is completely unbiblical. The Bible teaches that Jesus will return immediately after the tribulation of those days. There's going to be the sun and the moon will be darkened. That's the time of the sixth seal. Jesus will return. Then there's the wrath of God. And then the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And then in Revelation 20, the resurrected saints and Christ live and reign for 1,000 years. That's what the Bible actually teaches. The Bible just completely debunks it. I mean, I don't even know why anybody believes this. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There's not a single verse in the Bible that supports it. So we know from Revelation chapter 20 that Jesus Christ returns and the resurrection and rapture take place before the millennium. So the next question is it our job to establish the kingdom of God upon this earth? The answer is simply no. Jesus said in John 18, verse 36 to 37, it says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, that passage is pretty simple to understand as well. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. I don't know what's so hard to figure out about that. The kingdom of God is also referred to in the scriptures as the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of the Lord is not of this world, and neither are we of this world. Jesus said in John 15, "You're not of this world, but I've chosen you out of this world." So we're not of this world, and the kingdom of God is not of this world. If it were of this world, then Jesus would send his servants to fight for him, as he said in the scripture. Now, he's not just talking about at that particular time. Obviously, Christ needed to die on the cross for the sins of the world, so somebody couldn't stop him being arrested at that time. But even after he was raised from the dead, the disciples asked him in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And then in verse 7 and verse 8, it says, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now pay attention to the details of these verses. The disciples ask, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" They're asking him if that time was the time that he, meaning Jesus, would establish the kingdom. Before his death and resurrection, the Lord said that his kingdom was not of this world. Now they're asking him, "Now that you've risen from the dead, is it time for you again to restore the kingdom of Israel?" But Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." So even Jesus's reply acknowledges that the establishment of the kingdom of God is based on God's own will and not on man's doings. Instead, he tells his disciples what they are to do. He doesn't say, "Go and establish the kingdom of God, go take over the world." He says, "To be witnesses unto him." Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that it's our job to establish the kingdom of God. Jesus said in John 18 that if it were so, then we would fight to bring the kingdom of God into power. The battles that we fight, however, according to the scriptures, are not according to flesh and blood. It's not of this earth. We're given the task of fighting a spiritual battle to win souls unto Christ. It is written in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The conquest of the world, spread and enforce Christianity and the laws of the scriptures, is unbiblical. In the past, there were many examples of so-called Christians trying to take up the sword and to fight physically against unbelievers in an attempt at spreading Christianity. The exploits of the Roman Catholic Church and their pawns in the Middle Ages are a perfect example of this. There's slaughters of pagans by Roman Catholic kings like Clovis and Charlemagne in the Middle Ages. And in the 11th and 13th centuries, there was the Crusades, which began when Pope Urban called up arms to fight against the Muslims. He basically called upon Christians of Europe, or Christians, I use that term lightly because obviously they weren't Christians, they weren't saved, they were Roman Catholics, but he called upon them to invade the Holy Land, to take back Jerusalem by force. But nowhere is that taught in the Bible. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are indeed soldiers of Jesus Christ, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2. But we shouldn't take that literally. We're not literal soldiers. We don't have literal weapons that we use to fight against people. Okay, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. So it's all about imaginations and thoughts. It's about spiritual things. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemy is the devil. Our enemy is spiritual wickedness. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Our sword is not a sword of steel. Our sword is not a carnal weapon. Our sword is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, according to Ephesians 6:17. Our armor is not a garment that we put upon our body. It's the girdle of truth, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the helmet of salvation, according to Ephesians 6. Christ never commanded, take over the world and create the kingdom of God. This is what he commanded. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. But of course, the vast majority of those who subscribe to the nonsensical dominion theology position are Calvinists. So they're too lazy to get out of their office of man's wisdom and to preach the gospel. Most Calvinists don't preach the gospel because they don't even believe that everybody has the possibility of being saved anyway. They believed in their unconditional election and limited atonement. So most Calvinists don't go out soul winning. Most Calvinists don't preach the gospel and try to evangelize the world. The pride of these people is pretty evident. They always want to debate and argue, the Calvinists I'm talking about, the postmillennialists, and a lot of them want to fight as well. They have the pride to think that they're the ones who are going to take over this earth, and they're the ones who are going to determine when Christ returns, that it's their responsibility, that it's their task to establish the kingdom of God. But that's not taught in the Bible. According to the Bible, the kingdom is going to be established after the return of Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 to 17, it says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power and hast reigned. At the time of the seventh trumpet, it's declared that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. The context of this statement in Revelation 11 is, of course, the other trumpets, the other woes, and the wrath of God being executed upon this earth. Prior to this final woe, the two witnesses are killed by the beast, and then after 3 days, they are raised up. The declaration made by the 24 elders shows us that it is God which has built the kingdom upon the earth. They say, thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now, prior to this, was the kingdom of God upon the earth? The answer is no, because they declare the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. It's only at that point, at that moment, when the seventh trumpet sounds, that the kingdom of God is created. Before this, the only worldwide kingdom which exists is the kingdom of the Antichrist. This is proven further by the book of Daniel. In chapter 7, verse 21 to 22, it says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So according to this verse, the progression of events in Bible prophecy is first that the little horn makes war against the saints, which we see fulfilled in the prophecy of the beast in Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. But in verse 22, it says, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. So when does the kingdom begin, and when do we, as the saints of God, begin to reign with Christ, according to the Bible? When the Ancient of Days came. But the dominionists, they have it completely backwards. They conclude that the saints possess the kingdom first, and then the Ancient of Days comes. that the return of Christ is after the millennium instead of before the millennium and after the tribulation, like the Bible actually teaches. Another very clear passage in the book of Daniel is back in Daniel 2 with the image in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. In verse 43 to 44, it says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." So who is the one setting up the kingdom? Again, it's the God of heaven. God is going to come back. He's going to unleash his wrath upon the wicked, as seen in the seven trumpets and the seven vials, and then establish his kingdom upon the earth after the seventh trumpet and vial. Revelation 19. That's before the millennium. In Revelation 20, it clearly describes Christ riding upon a white horse, ready to judge the nations of the world. It says, "In righteousness doth he judge and make war." And it's at that time, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, that the beast is thrown into the lake of fire. It says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image," or his image. "These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." So the whole idea of dominion theology is unbiblical on many levels. The idea that it's our task to create the kingdom of God is false. The idea that we're in the millennium right now and the kingdom of God will slowly be built by Christians is false. The idea that we're to conquer the world is false. The idea that Jesus Christ will only come back once the kingdom is set up and the millennium ends is false. And really what this is one of the many end times heresies, which is leading into the coming of the Antichrist. It's an illusion for preparing or an illusion of preparing for Jesus Christ, when in reality, it's in preparation for the Antichrist. These unsaved heretics, most of them are unsaved heretics, are teaching this so that the world will be ready for the coming of the Antichrist, because they say, we're going to establish the kingdom. We're going to create a worldwide empire, and then Christ is going to return. No, the new world order will be created, and then the Antichrist will come, and then the rapture will take place. Jesus Christ will take up his saints, and then he will come and destroy the Antichrist and then establish his kingdom on earth. Then will come the millennium. That's what the Bible actually teaches. It's a very strange doctrine. I don't know where people get it from. Both postmillennialism and what's called dominion theology or Christian Reconstructionism. So that's it for this video. Isaiah Ryder asks, "Are you post-trib?" Yes, I am. Believe that the rapture takes place after the tribulation. I made a few videos on that, and I am planning to make a video going into more detail on that particular subject later in this month. So thank you, everybody, for watching, and goodbye. God bless you.